Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chof Gimel. We begin at three lines from the top with the start of the Gemara, Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. Yesterday in the Mishnah, we had two cases, the first series of which was Ha'ose Sukkosu Berosho Agola O Berosho Svina, and then we had Berosho Elon. And we'll discuss first the grouping of Rosh HaGola and Rosh HaSvina. So the Gemara starts off and says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Moni Masnisin, who's the author of our Mishnah that said that if you build a sukkah on top of either an Agola or on top of a Svina, that is a kosher sukkah? So the Gemara answers Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, because we learned in a Braisa, the Tanya, Ha'osa Sukkosu Berosh HaSvina, the Braisa tells us if you were to only make a sukkah on the top of the Svina. Now the Svina obviously could have multiple different locations of where the sukkah should be, and here we're dealing with that it was made on the top of this boat, and we have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Gamliel whether it's good or not. The Tanya says, "Sukkos b'rosh hasfina." Rabbi Gamliel posts over Rabbi Akiva machshir. Rabbi Gamliel says it's no good, and Rabbi Akiva says it's good. And Maisa Shahoya, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, also Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Eliezer, they would often go traveling together. They would spread Torah around the world. They would go and give chizuk to the Jewish communities, as well as go and fundraise from the different Jewish communities. In any event, Rabbi Gamliel said that this type of a sukkah is no good. Rabbi Akiva said it's good. And there was a Maisa Shoy when they were on a boat. Maisa Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva, Shiu Boyim Besvina. Once they were on a boat and it was sukkah's time, and Amad Rabbi Akiva was a sukkah, Berosh HaSvina. And he made a sukkah on the top part of the boat, where it's very windy, I should add. And Lamachar, Noshva Ruach Vakar Rosa. The next day, a wind came. A storm came and it blew away the sukkah. And Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Akiva, "Nu Akiva," they were colleagues, he called them Akiva, "Heichon sukkoslo, where is your sukkah?" In other words, you can see why I said it's not a kosher sukkah, because it's not able to withstand in a ruach mitsuya, in a normal wind, and here will be the machlokes, a normal wind for in general or a normal wind for the area that you put it into. Now let's understand this machlokis. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, the Kuli Alma, both Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva, everybody holds, Hechod Eini Yechol Lamo Beruach Mitzuya Diabosha Lo Klumhi, that if it's not able to stand to a normal wind on dry ground, so then it certainly is not going to be a kosher sukkah. And everybody agrees, Yechol Amod Bisha'ena Mitzuya Diabosha, and everybody agrees if it can withstand even very unusual high winds on the dry ground, which are the equivalent, Rashi says, of the regular winds in the ocean, where the winds are stronger. So if it can withstand such winds, then even Rabbi Gamliel agrees, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi D'Ksheira, that's a perfectly kosher sukkah. There's no intrinsic problem about it being on a boat. It has to do with the winds. Ki Pligi, where do Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva argue, but the Yechol Lamo Biruach Mitsuya Diabosha, where it is able to withstand a normal wind on the ground, on the earth, however, Ve'en Yechol Lamo, now the girsa that we have is Biruach She'ena Mitsuya Diabosha. It can't withstand the abnormally high winds on the earth, on the ground, or the Masoras Sasha says the Girtza, Beruach Mitsuya Diyam, or in the regular higher winds of the ocean. Rashi points out that those are the same. And therefore, in this situation, it can't withstand the normal winds on the boat, but it can withstand the normal winds on the earth, on the ground. And there, Rabbi Gamliel saw our sukkah's diras kevabina. A sukkah has to be a sturdy structure. The kivin de'eni yechol lamo beruach b'tzuya diyan lo klumi. And since it can't withstand the normal winds in that area where it's being built, i.e. on the boat, and it can't withstand the normal winds of the ocean, which are the abnormally high winds of the ground, so then lo klumi, it's worth nothing. It's not a kosher sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says no. Rabbi Akiva savar sika sukkah diras aroi bo inon v'kivin yichol lamo biruach b'tzuya debirasha k'sheira. It has to be able to withstand winds that are normal. Even though right now where it is, those winds would be not normal. You need a higher sturdiness. But as long as the sukkah is not blown down, and it could withstand a normal wind on the yabasha, so right now, as long as it's not blown down, even though it could be blown down with normal winds of the ocean, it still is a kosher sukkah. So this is the machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Now, Tosus points out over here that some regoris over here, Berosh HaGola as well, in this braisa. And the same machlokas would apply over here between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva in the wagon case as well. Now we go on to the second part of the Mishnah where it said that are you allowed to make a sukkah on a gomel, on a camel, or on a tree? both of them are muktza. So the Gemara says, Masnisimani, who's the author of our mission that said that those were perfectly good, albeit you couldn't use them on Shabbos or Yonta because of the muktza status. So who's the author of our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Meir. What is that? The tiny, because we're in the Braisa. Hosa sukoso agabi behema, Rav Meir machshir v'yehuda posel. That if one would make a sukkah on the back of an animal, Rav Meir says perfectly good, no problem at all. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good. What's the rationale behind each of their shitos? My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say it's no good on the back of the camel, or if it were to be on another behema, it's no good? So the Gemara says, on my cross, Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning is based upon the pasuk, Chag HaSukkos Tase L'cho Shivas Yomim. You have to make sukkahs for all 7 days. That means sukkah re'uya l'shiva shma sukkah, sukkah that could be used all 7 days, so then that's a kosher sukkah. But a sukkah she'ena re'uya l'shiva, lo shma sukkah, but a sukkah that can't be used for all 7 days doesn't have the halachic status of being a kosher sukkah. We'll see later on in the Gemara, there's even a stronger opinion that says it has to be the same sukkah that you use all 7 days based upon this pasuk, but that's not the simple understanding of the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Both of them are arguing over here, what does it mean it has to be Chag HaSukkos Tasel Choshivas Yomim? Does it have to be capable of being used all 7 days? So Rav Yehuda says, yes, it has to, and therefore, since this can't be used all 7 days because it's muktzah, therefore, it's not a kosher sukkah. No, what does Rabbi Meir say to that? He also agrees with this concept of Chag HaSukkos Tazel HaShivas Yomim. So what does Rabbi Meir do with this pasuk? For Rabbi Meir, Hanami Midiraisa Mechzichas, he says, why can't you use this on Shabbos or Yontif? It's only because of a din of muktza. A din of muktza is a din de Rabbanan. So therefore, on a Daraisa level, this is a 100% kosher sukkah. So it fulfills the pasuk that tells us that Chag HaSukkos Tazel HaShivas Yomim. You could use this all 7 days. I mean, the Rabbanan, you can't. That doesn't impact anything. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, if you can't use it in the Rabbanan, so therefore the Rabbanan have the power to oker a din daraisa, and therefore it's not good for all 7 days, it's only good for those days of the Cholamite. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that it's no good with the Rabbanan makes it no good with the daraisa. And that's the crux of the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. They both agree, Chag HaSukkos Tazek Lo Shivas Yomim has to be able to be used all 7 days. They just argue about whether that's true only on a daraisa level, like Rabbi Meir says, or it has to be even on a Darabbanan level, like Rabbi Yehuda says, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda says it's no good, and Rabbi Meir says it's good. Now the Gemara says, Asol Vehema Dofin L'Sukkah. Now the Rabbeinu Chanano says this is a brand new statement, and you have a braisa over here, Tanu Rabbanan. That's how you should start this off. In any event, you make a behema to be one of the walls of the sukkah. So Rabbi Meir, suppose Rabbi Meir says it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's good in this situation. Why? Shaya Rabbi Meir Omer called Davar Sheyesh Bo Ruach Chaim. Rabbi Meir's opinion is, if something is a live animal and you're using it as a wall, there's a concern with it, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. And he says, anything that is a live animal can't be used for the following mechitzos, the following types of walls or structures, partitions. Enosin oso lo ledofen sukkah. You can't make it as a wall of a sukkah. We'll see in a moment two reasons why this is true. But right now we're learning the din in this braisa. You can't use it for the wall of a sukkah. Lo lelechi, you can't use it as a lechi for a mavui. We talked about this already in yesterday's shiur, the day before. Of course, we discussed it in great detail in Erevin, that if you have, for example, a three-sided mavui, and it's open on the fourth side to the Rishus HaRabim, so this alleyway is open on the fourth side, so midaraisa you can carry, but midarabanan you have to put up a lechi. So you want to use a post. So let's say I'll put my cow up there, my cow will serve as the post. So Rav Meir says, no, you can't. So lo lelechi the mavui, you can't be used as a lechi for a mavui. But likewise, it can't be used below pasin libiros. We had this also discussion earlier in the Masechta and in Erevin quite a bit, where you have ama wide boards at right angles in the four corners around the be'er, around the well. So the only regolim would be able to go and take the water easily out and feed their animals, give their animals to drink and take for themselves. So when you're putting up this diumdim, diu omid, two boards at right angles in each of the four corners, so that makes this an area that you can carry it now. But if you wanted to put it, instead of the diumdin, if you wanted to put a cow over there, you want to put an animal over there, lo possibly raw. So Rabbi Meir says you can't use the cow to be that machitza. Lo gola lekever. Likewise, if you want to use the animal to be the coffin cover, so to say, so then the animal, a live animal other than man, can't accept tuma, cannot accept tuma, and therefore this also is not going to function as a gola for a kever. The animal can't be the top part of a kever. It can't be like the lid, the coffin cover for a kever. That's one understanding of the gola of the kever. There are other understandings. This is the simplest. Mishum Rav Yosi Aglili, Amru, Rav Yosi Aglili added on an additional thing and said, ah, in kosin olo gitin oshim. You likewise can't use an animal, a live animal, to write on it the get for a woman and then give it to the woman. Because, as we'll see, there is an intervening step that is in between the kosa v'nosan that you have over here. And that's why it's no good in this situation. In any event, we see that Rav Meir holds that a live animal can't be a mechitza. Specifically, it can't be a mechitza for a sukkah. It can't be a wall of a sukkah. Why? So we said that's the halacha, but why does Rav Meir hold like that? My time to Rav Meir. So we have two reasons. The first one is Abaye, the second one is Rabbi Zeira. Abaye says the reason is because Rav Meir is concerned always lemiuta. Rav Meir is choshish lemiuta. He's always concerned about unlikely events, and we have to be concerned, Shema Tomos. You know what's going to happen? You use the cow over here as the wall, and the cow's going to die and fall down, and suddenly you don't have a wall of your sukkah. You only had a three-walled sukkah to start with. Now you have only two walls, and it's not a kosher sukkah. And therefore, Rav Meir says you can't use a live animal for the wall of the sukkah because of Shema Tomos. What does Rabbi Zeira say? Rabbi Zeira Omar Shema Tivrach. A similar but different idea. He says, no, we're not concerned about the animal dying. We'll have to explain why the opinion of Abaye that the animal might die is not a concern to Rabbi Zeira. And likewise, we'll have to explain why the opinion of Rabbi Zeira, Shema Tivrach, the animal may run away, is not a concern to Abaye. In any event, these are the two reasons to understand Rabbi Meir why he's not allowing a behemoth to be the dauphin for the sukkah. Abaye says, we're concerned that the animal will die and you won't have a kosher wall. Or, Rabbi Zeira, the animal's going to run away and you don't have a kosher wall. Now the Gemara says, let's say what type of animal we're talking about. So, bepil, kosher, if you're dealing with a peel is an elephant, and it's tied up, so then you don't have the concern it's going to run away, and you don't have the concern that it's going to die, and it's not going to be 10 tefachim tall, because even a dead elephant is going to be 10 tefachim tall. So, bepil, kosher, if you're dealing with a tied up elephant that can't run away, and even if it were to die, it will be tall enough, kuli amal pligi, both Abaye and Rabbi Zeira say that that would be perfectly fine. Because dinami ma'is, if it dies, yesh bin ivloso asari, it still will be 10 tefachim tall. No matter which way you lie this elephant down, when it falls, it's still going to have the height of 10 tefachim to be an acceptable wall. And it can't run away because it's tied up. So where do they argue? Where do Abaye and Rabbi Zeira argue? Ki plige bepil she'eino kosher. You're dealing with an elephant that's not tied down. So leman di omer shema tomos. According to Abaye, it says we're concerned that the animal will die and it won't be 10 tefachim. So a peel that dies will still be 10 tefachim. Lo chayshin, and therefore we don't have any concern. However, according to Rabbi Zeira, leman di omer gzeira shema tivrach. We have to be concerned the animal will run away. So of course the peel could run away. Chayshin. So that would be a nafkamina if you're dealing with a peel, an elephant that is untied. Where it says, okay, great. But why, Leman Diom Magzera Shema Thomas, according to Abaye, who says we have to be concerned that the animal might die, and in an elephant, because it's so big, even if it dies, it will still be more than 10 tefachim, why wasn't he concerned? Echo Shema Tivrach. He should be concerned that the animal may run away. So what says Yataki, you're right. Ella Bapil, Sheno Kosher, Kuliyam Lopligi. In fact, for an elephant that is untied, both Abaye and Rosera say that it's still no good because of Shema Tivrach. It may run away. The fact that it may die, that's not a concern one way or the other. Everybody has to be concerned it could run away. Kuli amalo pligi. Keep pligi. So where do Abaye and Rosero argue? When you're dealing with something that's smaller than an elephant. The behema, a regular size animal, that if it were to die, it would be less than 10 tefachim tall. So the behema kshura. Now, if you tie this animal up, so then you have to be concerned still about it dying, but you don't have to be concerned about it running away. So Laman di Omar, according to Abaye, who says Gzeir Shema Tomus, you only have to be concerned that it might die. So Chashinim, we're concerned it might die, and then it won't be 10 tefachim tall. So therefore, he wouldn't allow you to use an animal that's tied up. However, according to Rabbi Zeira, Laman di Omar, Gzeir Shema Tivrach, Lo Chashinim, it's tied up. You don't have to be concerned about it. So that seems to be the answer. But the Gemara says, Uleman da Omar, Gzeir Shema Tivrach, according to Rabbi Zeira, who says, oh, as long as it's tied up, we don't have to be concerned it will run away. The real Gzeir is that it may come and run away, so why is he not concerned? Necho Shema Tomos. Why isn't Rabbi Zeira concerned that the animal will die? So the Gemara says, even though Rabbi Meir holds that we're normally choshesh lemiyuta, it's only a regular miyuta, but not a miyuta de miyuta. And therefore, according to Rabbi Zeira, his understanding of Rav Meir is misa lo shchicha. Running away, that's shchiach. Animals run away all the time. But the animal suddenly to die, that's not shchiach. And therefore, according to Rabbi Zeira, even Rav Meir is not choshesh for that miyut. That's a miyuta de miyuta, and he's not choshesh for it. Now the Gemara asks, Va'ika rivacha de beni beni. How could anybody say that an animal is good? The animal stands up on its four legs, and then underneath it, you have a space between the body of the animal and the ground, that's more than three tefachim. So this is Gideon Balkimbo. Little goats could go underneath there, and therefore this should be a kosher wall. Gemara says, no. No, you fill it in. You're right. You're talking, you're right. It wouldn't be a good wall. That's why you have to fill it in with all sorts of types of hutsa and dafna. Rashi says, hutsa alulave dekel, these are the palm fronds. And dafno or anofe eitz shekorin a foreign word lurir, which is pirish eitz ha'ar. It's a certain type of wood. So you fill this in with various types of wood, and therefore you've completed the wall. Agmar says v'dilma rava. Maybe the animal is going to crouch down. It's going to squat, and then it won't be 10 tefachim tall. Agmar says demesicha biashle mil'el. No, you're holding it up with ropes, and therefore even if it were to try to crouch, it will still be more than 10 tefachim tall. Okay, the Gemara says, great, we got an answer now. But, Ulaman di Omar, Gzeiro Shema Tomus, according to Abaye, who says that we have to be concerned that the animal die. So in this situation, Nami, Ha Mesicha B'Yashli Mil'el, it's being held up by the ropes. So even if it were to die, it will still be more than 10 tefachim tall. The Gemara says, no. You know why? Because it's not really 10 tefachim tall. We put the animal within less than 3.0 tefachim of the schach. And because of the principle of good osik, it reaches up to the schach. So imagine you have this animal that is 7.1 tefachim tall, and the schach is at 10 tefachim, so it's a perfectly kosher sukkah. But now, if the animal dies, zimnim demokim bepachos mishlosha somuch l'schach, we're dealing here that the animal's top part of the animal is within 2.9 tefachim of the schach. It's 7.1 plus the 2.9, and that's why it's a kashera sukkah, a kashera wall. And then, however, it dies, and even though it's being held up, the kivan de maisa kafsa, since it dies, it's going to shrink a little bit. Now, it went from being 7.1 to 6.9. Now, the difference between 7.1 and 6.9 is not really very noticeable. Of course, if you take out a measuring stick, fine. But when you look at it, you're not going to see that that slight difference is occurring. And therefore, it's now going to be 3.1 tefachim away from the schach, and that's no longer filled in by the principle of lavud. And therefore, we have to be concerned about this in this situation. And the lav adaita, and the person will realize it. So, kiva de maisa, katsa, it's going to die and shrink from 7.1 to 6.9, the lav adaita, and he's not going to realize this, and as a result, the wall will not be a kosher wall. For those that want diagrams of this, I should have pointed them out sooner. You can see them in the Perush Chai on page 80, 81, and 82. And if you want them in the Illustrated Gemara, you can see them on page 50 and 51. Ayin Shom. So now the Gemara says, okay, Abaye, you're telling us that Rav Meir is Choshesh Lemisa, and that seems to contradict, however, a Gemara elsewhere. Are you really of the opinion, Abaye, that Rav Meir is Choshesh Lemisa? The Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish, Rabbi Yehuda is not chayish. But I'll show you from this Mishnah, this is the Mishnah in Gittin, it seems to be the exact opposite. It says in this Mishnah in Gittin, Vatnan, Bas Yisrael, Shenises L'Kohen, if the daughter of Yisrael went and got married to a Kohen, so now previously the daughter of Yisrael is not allowed to eat Truma, but now she's married to her husband who's a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. Now, no problem. She's eating truma. Everything is fine and good. V'holach ba'al l'medina sayan. Her husband goes off on a business trip. He goes far away. So, is he alive? Is he not? If they have no children, so then if her husband were Rahman al-Islam to pass away, so then she's not allowed to eat any truma. If her husband's still alive, she's allowed to eat truma. But we don't know. They didn't have instant communications. They didn't have Instagram and Twitter. So they had no idea. He was away for months. They had no idea if he was alive or dead. V'holach ba'al l'medina sayan. So what's the halacha? The Mishmin Gittin tells us, Ocheles b'truma b'cheskashu kayim. We're allowed to say, he left, he was alive. There's a chazaka, the person's alive until we know that he's dead. And as a result, therefore, this wife, this Bas Yisrael, who's married to this Kohen, is still allowed to eat truma. That's the Mishmin Gittin. However, the Gemara over there says that we seem to have a contradiction. Or mina na law, we have a braisa, hareza gitech. The man gives his wife a get. And he says, this get should only take effect, sho'achas kodim isosi. This should be harei zegitech, this will be your get, an hour before I die. Now, nobody knows when they're going to die. So maybe he's going to die in the next hour. And therefore, his wife is considered divorced right now. Therefore, she can't eat truma. So this Gemara tells us, this Bryce, it tells us, asur alecho b'truma miyad. We always have to be concerned that maybe the husband will die in an hour or less than an hour, and therefore she's halakhically now considered divorced. Since they don't have children, she's not allowed to eat truma once they're divorced. And therefore, in this situation, asur lecho b'truma miyad. She isn't allowed to go and eat truma immediately. Now, you have here this braisa that says that we are choshesh lemisa, and we have the Mishnah that says you're not choshesh lemisa. So Amar Abaye, how did Abaye reconcile the Mishnah and the braisa? He said it's two different opinions. Lokasha, ha Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah that said that halach balu l'medina sayam ocheles b'truma b'cheska shukayam, that's Rabbi Meir. The lo choshesh lemisa. Rabbeir is not Chayish Lemisa. This is the kasha on how can you tell us that Abaye says Rebbe is choshesh lemisa. Here you see that Abai says Rebbe is not choshesh lemisa. And the Braise said, it said over here that shoachas kodim yisasi asura lecho betruma miyad. If that was the condition of the get, you should only take effect when it's an hour before my death, then she's not allowed to eat because we're choshesh lemisa. Her yud is chayesh lemisa. Now, let's say you weren't convinced that this is really the understanding of Abai explaining that Rebbe is not choshesh lemisa over here, and the Rehuda is choshesh lemisa, which is the opposite of all Gemara. I'll show you that that's not true, because the Tanya, we have this very famous Braisa that's learned in a number of places. You can see this in Masoros HaShas, Oz Gimel, how many places we have this Braisa. Halokeach yaimi ben akusim. You're going to purchase wine Erev Shabbos from a kusi. The kusim were nechshad, they were suspected that they didn't take off chumas and maisers. So now you don't have any container that you can separate out the wine that you just purchased and put the truma in one container, the maiser in another container. You just have this one container, it's right before Shabbos, you're not allowed to go and drink it without taking off chumas and maisers. What are you supposed to do? So the Braisa says, Omer, the individual, this will be Rabbi Meir's opinion, the individual should say as follows. Let's say you have 100 lugin over here in this container that he just purchased from the kusi. So he says, Shnei lugim shani osid lahafrish, I have to take off 1/50th, which is 1/50th of 100 is 2 lugin. So the 2 lugin that I would eventually separate, I'm being mafrish them right now, even though I can't take them off physically. I'm just designating 2 units that will remain, 2 lugin that will remain, shani osid lahafrish, harehin truma. I'm calling them truma. They're mixed in right over here right now, but I'm calling them truma. Now, there's only 98 left, really. So technically, the Maaser Rishon would be 10% of that, would be 9.8. But the Gemara rounds it off. And therefore, it says, Asara Maaser Rishon. The 10 Lugin that I'm now designating to be Maaser Rishon are mixed in here as well. And then, you technically now have 88, or actually a little bit less because you only took off 9.8, but let's keep it nice and round. So from the 88 that you have remaining, you have to take off another 9. It's really 8.8. Actually, it's a fraction of that, a little bit less. Tisha Maaser Sheni, I'm designating the next 9 to be Maaser Sheni, but here with the Maaser Sheni, I can redeem it on a coin. So this Tisha that's Maaser Sheni, that's somehow in this container, in this liquid container, Umecha, I'm saying the Kedusha of this Maaser Sheni should be Chal now on this coin, wherever I have this coin of my Maaser Sheni. And now he separated off the Truma. There's 2 Lugin in there that are Truma. There's 10 Lugin in there that are Maaser Rishon. The 9 Lugin that you took off of Maaser Sheni have been redeemed, so they're now Chulin, and everything else in there is Chulin as well. And therefore, Rav Meir says, Rav Meir says, drink to your heart's content. You just have to make sure that you leave over at least 2 Lugin that are Truma, and the other 10 Lugin that are going to be left at the end, besides the 2 Lugin for Truma, are going to be the 10 Lugin of Maaser Rishon, and you give them to a Levi. This is what Rav Meir says you can do. Clearly, Rav Meir is not choshesh, as we will see, that this jug will break, and then you're going to be stuck that you drank it without having the Trumas and Maasers given to the Kohen. They were never actually formally mufrash. So clearly, this holds that Rav Meir is not chayish for the container breaking. We turn to Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, but Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, these 3 Tanoim, they disagree with Rabbi Meir. Osrim, they say, no, we have to be concerned. As the top Rashi says, Vamrina, Gezerah, Shema Yibak, I know. They are concerned that the jug will break, the container with all the wine will break, V'lo Yobo Lidei Bereira, and it won't be retroactively that these were the Lugin that were for Truma, the 2 Lugin for Truma, the 10 Lugin for Maaser Rishon, V'nimtza Shoshet Tefalim. And it turns out, in retrospect, that you were drinking Tevel, because it never had Trumas and Maaser Smufrish from it. What do you see? Rashi reminds us, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chayish Lebeki Asanot. This opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, also as well, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, we're not interested in their opinions right now. Rabbi Yehuda clearly is Choshesh for a Miyuta, that Lebeki Asanot, the Kol Shekein Lemisa Sodom, and if you're concerned about a node breaking, a vessel breaking, you certainly have to be concerned about a person dying. So that's the price that we had from Gittin that said that as soon as the man says, this should be your get, and now before I die, so we have to be concerned that he's going to die. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's Choshesh Lemisa, and Rashi continues, Rameh lo chayish. Rameh says, I'm not concerned about the node breaking, and I'm not concerned about the person dying. So this is a kasha on Abaye's understanding of Rameh. In our Masechta here in Sukkah, he is concerned with Misa, and in Gittin, he's not concerned with Misa. Shmuel says, no, Epoch, flip it around. We have the wrong appellations. In fact, Rabbi Meir was the one that was chayish lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda, lo chayish lemisa. And Rabbi Yehuda is not the one. So in the Braisa from Gittin, it was Rabbi Meir who said, if the man gives the get and says, this should be your get, take effect. And now before I die, it was Rabbi Meir who said, yes, we're choshesh for that. Because Rabbi Meir is choshesh lemisa. Oh, in Sukkah and in Gittin, he was choshesh lemisa. And it was Rabbi Yehuda that's not choshesh for it, either in regards to Sukkah or in regards to Gittin. The Tanya, and I'll show you that this is right, because it says, Asol v'heimah dofen l'sukkah. If you make an animal to be the wool of the sukkah, Reb Meir is the one that's posel, Reb Yehuda is the one that's machshir. And therefore, Reb Meir is choshesh shema yomus, and Reb Yehuda says, I'm not concerned shema yomus. Oh, so we've reconciled it perfectly well, Gittin and our Gemara. However, we still seem to have a problem. In the case of the wine from the Kusi, clearly, Reb Meir is not choshesh for the node breaking. And clearly, Reb Yehuda is choshesh for the node breaking. So what's going on? Kash the Reb Meir, the Reb Meir, and we'll see. Kash the Reb Yehuda, the Reb Yehuda. So kash the Reb Meir, the Reb Meir. Amalek Reb Meir, how would he respond to that? He would say, Misa shchicha, b'kiyas enod lo shchicha. People die. Everybody's going to die, but not every jug is going to break. And therefore, efshod the mosel le shomer. You know what? He could put the glove, he puts it to a shomer. He gives it to a person to watch it. That person puts it in all sorts of blankets and covers, and it's securely locked away, and it's not going to break. But everybody's going to die. So therefore, lemisa, Reb Meir is choshesh, but for the bekiyas hanod, the breaking of the node, he's not choshesh. Okay, so we reconciled Reb Meir, the Reb Meir. No, kash the Reb Yehuda, the Reb Yehuda. Here, by the bekiyas hanod, clearly Reb Yehuda is choshesh, but by the gittin, he's not choshesh. How come? Shmuel says, "Time of the Yehuda, lav mishum dechayish lebekiyas hanod." No, in this situation with the wine from the kusi, it wasn't because he was concerned that the node may break. Ela mishum delesle breira, because he doesn't hold the principle of retroactive designation. So you have to actually physically separate out the trumas and maisus. It's not enough to say whatever will be left was, by definition, what I intended to be trumas and maisus, but it has nothing to do with choshesh lebekiyas hanod or not. Where it says, "Really." Are you telling me that Reb Yehuda is not chayish lebekiyas hanod? But I show you that that's not true. Keep on reading that brisa. In that brisa with the wine from the kusi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda, they all said to Reb Meir, don't you agree with us? Don't you agree that if the node were to break, then in fact the person would be drinking tfalim lemafreya? And what did Reb Meir respond? Reb Meir said back to them, "Look, yeah, you're right. If that happens, we'll worry about it then. In other words, I'm not concerned about it because it's not a dover shchiach. It's not even a miyuta. It's a miyuta de miyuta at best. Now, what do you clearly see from this question that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, and our Rabbi Yehuda asked? Michlal the chayish Rabbi Yehuda lebekiyas hanod. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh for bekiyas hanod. So we still have this stira, Rabbi Yehuda. You can't tell me it's breira. It's bekiyas hanod. Here he is concerned, but by gittin he's not concerned. Samur says no. Hasam Rabbi Yehuda who dekamel Rabbi Meir. By the bekiyas hanod, it was Rabbi Yehuda saying, I personally am not concerned about bekiyas hanod. But according to you, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Meir, I personally lead the less like Breira. I don't hold from Breira. And therefore, I have to say over here that a retroactive determination is no good. That's why I'm not allowing the purchase from the Kusi to take off these Trumas and Maisus in theory. You have to physically separate them because I don't hold from Breira. But you do hold from Breira. Eladi Dokti Yesh Breira. Why aren't you concerned? Yet Tamoda, the Shema Yibaka node, that the node may break. So you should be concerned that you then won't have Breira to rely upon. So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir responded back to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon by saying, says, yeah, if in fact it breaks, then we'll worry about it. But I'm not concerned that it's going to break, and therefore I don't have to go and be choshesh that it will break. Now we went pretty far. This is a great place to stop. With this, we conclude today's shiur.